You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Welcome to the CIA, Columbia, Obama Sedition and Treason Trial Transcript Release Press Conference. We're so delighted that you are a part of this historic event today. Now, first of all, I want to state that our general and usual format of the Manning Report will be foregone today, that we might be able to present this press conference in a way that all who are willing to participate will be able to do so after my introductory remarks. First of all, I'd like to state that this press conference is being held several months after the actual trial took place that got started right here at the Outlaw World Missionary Church on the 14th of May, in the year of our Lord, 2010. The verdict was handed down late in the afternoon on the 18th of May, where the verdict, a group of American citizens found Barack Hussein Obama, Michael Sovereign, the trustees of Columbia University at the time, guilty of 17 counts ranging from sedition to fraud, wire and mail fraud, obstruction of justice, and issuing a false instrument. Now, in the period of which we now find ourselves releasing this transcript that all America may be made aware of, at the very least, the evidence and the commitment that this trial had to the 10th Amendment of the 9th and the 10th Amendment of the Constitution of this great Republic of America. I want to state that at the conclusion of my remarks, I will bring on Captain Neil Turner, who will be able to further discuss the power that has been applied to this trial by the constitutions and statements issued by Supreme Court Justice Anthony Scalia, verifying that we, the people, are indeed the contractors of the Constitution and hold every conceivable right to conduct a trial, and such a trial should be upheld by all American citizens. And I think a large number of people have had the question about the judicial authority of this trial. Trust me. Rest assured that at the conclusion of these remarks and the remarks of Captain Neil Turner, you will be assured that we acted in a way that gives honor to this great nation and all of its citizens with respect to constitutional privileges. I think the other thing that we want to state at the outset is that this was indeed a historic event. There's never been anything like it. And the response of the media, the response of the American people, we're not here to predict or try to prophesy how they're going to react. One would readily believe that for the most part, the media would not be interested in this trial or the results thereof for various reasons. Not that the evidence that will be presented is not evidence nonetheless. That is to say, that if I witness you kill a man, rob him of his goods, and then run down the street, and you go hiding, And I tell that to the authorities, and the authorities choose to ignore it. It does not mean that there has not been a murder and a robbery. It simply means that the authorities have chosen, for whatever reason, to ignore the murder and the robbery. And we, many Americans, are all too familiar with this kind of a response from the media and the powers that be. The authorities may choose not to pursue or investigate the witness or the eyewitness testimony and the evidence that I would present about that murder and robbery, because they feel that the person that was murdered and robbed does not rise to their standard of equal protection under the law. Or they may determine that the person who we have identified as the murderer and the robber is indeed above the law, and therefore they have no interest in pursuing. I'm not sure exactly what will be the position of the media, but I can say this: the world and all of its adherents will find that the information that we have presented is solid, rock solid, documented evidence, demonstrated unequivocally that Barack Hussein Obama is the world's most notorious criminal, and he has done such crimes in full view of the American people, the media, and all of the 2008 political class. Another reason why one may choose not to pursue this information, because I am not the only one who's very much aware of all the evidence that has been presented. Others are much more aware of this evidence. But because Mr. Obama has been chosen by the courts, the media, the Congress, the business, banks, and others, they have invested in him. And so to pursue the truth about him as it was demonstrated at this trial would not be in their best interest. And I want to say to you, what we now have going on in our nation, regrettably, and much to our sad response to it, is that we have now not a nation of congressional lawmakers. We have not in our nation at this present time a Supreme Court bench that is bent on the preservation of the law. But we have now in our nation and in every corner of our local and state politics law breakers who do so. And it seems that the American people are afraid to raise their voices. Well, I'm not. And so thusly we have this trial. There's a couple other things, and then we're going to bring on Captain Turner. This trial is not singularly about the birth certificate issue, or that I am a birther gone amok, and want to simply demonstrate that Barack Hussein Obama is not a U.S. American or natural-born citizen, as the constitutional clause requires. Now, we have to keep in mind that when George Washington and first Supreme Court Justice John Jay wrote that clause into the Constitution, they had a singular purpose in mind, that you must be natural born, for they believed, as founding fathers, that anyone who was not would owe or possibly could owe allegiances to some other nation, being dual or triple allegiances, if born in one nation and raised in another, and yet chose to live in America and sought to be its president. The allegiances could be varied. And therefore, at the time when fidelity to this nation was most important, it could be greatly compromised by other or dual allegiances elsewhere. So you must be natural born. You must be 35 years of age. You must would have lived in America for a period of at least 14 years. We're going to demonstrate that Barack Hussein Obama is not natural born, but that is not the strength of the case that we presented or the trial that we had. The strength of the case that we presented demonstrates unequivocally that Barack Hussein Obama knowingly and willfully committed a torrent of criminal acts to gain the presidency. We're also going to prove and demonstrate that Columbia University, while being influenced by the CIA, the State Department, and others allowed this criminal activity to go forward, not thinking that it would ever lead to a date where it would be brought to open evidence in a trial, or that the person to whom they had conspired with would ever seek the office of the presidency. And so, my friends, it is about the Constitution and about criminal activity and spiritual wickedness in high places that we have conducted this trial. And we believe now is the appropriate moment through which the transcripts may be released and you'll be able to read for yourself. And again, we want to state that the evidence, whether you agree that we had judicial authority or not, and you are free to disagree about that. You can call it a mock trial. You can call it a joke. But again, my brothers and my sisters, if I am reporting on a murder and a robbery, and I witnessed the murder and the robbery, but yet the authorities chose not to act upon my witness and representation, that, of course, is their decision. But we have a dead man. We got a body that is dead, and a man that is robbed, and a criminal that is running free. And if you choose, after hearing the evidence or witnessing the evidence that will be brought to you contained in this transcript, then that will be your choice. But I can't believe the good people of America are going to allow this criminal to continue to run amok after such murder and robbery has taken place. Indeed, most of us know that the time, the life and time of Barack Hussein Obama has been nothing but a profile of lies, chicanery, and spellbinding, if you will, fantasies that he has inflicted upon the American people, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop now. A number of people have also asked, well, why are you doing this? You are allegedly a black man, African American. You even live in Harlem. You're a pastor of a church. Why aren't you in support of Obama simply because of the color of his skin? Well, I have to tell you, as appealing as that may be to a large number of people, I understand that the Obama election was the most racist thing that has ever happened on this continent, including slavery. It was just a very racist event. But I have to tell you, I've been set free by the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the slain civil rights leader, that we should not judge, and let me inject, vote for a man because of the color of his skin, but rather by the content of his character. And so, my friends, it was the character and remains the character of Mr. Obama that has prompted me to warn Americans to run from him. Run, little children. Run, America, as fast and far and hard as you can away from Mr. Obama. But inevitably, people will be people. And they voted for him, and now they see that all my statements and warnings were absolutely on point. I'd like to further state that I oppose Mr. Obama for spiritual reasons. I am a pastor, and no matter what your spiritual call may be, I believe God, as the Apostle Paul said, when floating down the Adriatic Sea under that great storm called Euroclydon. And he declared in the midst of those sailors who were frightened after not having seen the light of day for 14 days on end, Paul declared that we shall be saved because I believe God. And my friends, I want you to know, I believe God, and I believe that Obama is the son of Satan. I'm not asking you to believe that. I'm not asking you to believe that I believe that. I'm telling you what I believe. And for those spiritual reasons alone, I could not forbear and will not forbear. But I must follow my conscience, and I must follow my faith in God, that this man needs to be identified for who he is as the son of Satan. Now, let me quickly move. While I will not try to sum up the evidence, I will state this, that the evidence In spite of what you may think about the trial, its judicial authority, the constitutional privilege, or me as an individual, or any of the participants or respondents to the call that was put forth to help conduct this trial, no matter what might be your final conclusion, I want to remind you, upon reading the transcripts, the evidence remains the evidence. One would then argue, well, there was no cross-examination. None of the people that were found guilty had any representation by having an attorney present. And I would retort by saying, but we sent subpoenas well in advance. Shortly after the indictment was handed down, we allowed people who were defendants and witnessed that perhaps that could present some exculpatory evidence on behalf of the defendants to come, to appear, to testify, to have their lawyers file motions, of which the court would then justly entertain. None of those people chose to defend themselves. And I might add, our judicial system allows for that privilege, and any decision that is reached in a court of law where the Constitution is upheld, if people choose not to show up or choose not to be represented, it does not null and void the verdict. So the argument that the evidence is somehow tainted because there was not cross-examination is an argument in folly, and indeed is an argument against the free will of the Constitution and the people who could have appeared to defend themselves. I'd like to also inform you that there will be a Q&A section, a question and answer segment after Captain Neil Turner has had his remarks regarding the strength of the Constitution and why this trial should be upheld and respected by all American people. I want, as you go through the transcript, and it'll take you some time to do so, you to consider what is happening at present to our nation. You have elected a man, and I will state and pray that you will agree, based simply on his race. We have to go beyond that. If those who are appeared to be or alleged to have been oppressed because of the color of their skin, if we continue to make that the focal point of all our deliberations and the reason for our decisions, that a good and a just man with the wrong color can't get through the front door, but an evil and a wicked man, because of a color that has favor or is publicly being praised at the present moment, albeit an evil man, is allowed to walk through because of his race. You and I know, and whether you're willing to agree with me, let your conscience be your own guide. But you and I know that were Mr. Obama a white man, or even a Republican white man for that matter, with the kind of baggage he had with his association with Jeremiah Wright and his association with William Ayers, his close affinity to Islam, and the questions about his birth certificate and where he was born, and those kinds of questions would have disqualified a white man in a heartbeat. And should those questions or those statements be unearthed after the fact, then he would have been imprisoned even without a trial if he were white, indicating that, well, if you are black, somehow or another, affirmative action, you're allowed to be more of a criminal than you are. You're held to a lower standard than would be the white man. My friend, I'm appalled at that. I think all men should be held to the same standard of the law. This transcript, it's going to make for some very interesting reading. The testimony, my friends, contained in these pages is unequivocal evidence that Mr. Obama did not attend Columbia University. It's irrefutable. He was never there. He was just never there. Might I add that this information and the trial was prompted by a visit to my office by the CIA, members of the local police department right here in New York City, the 28th Precinct, Indeed, the community affairs officer that walked into my office on the 16th of November at 6:10 in the evening. When they came into my office, I recognized immediately the precinct community affairs director, for we had worked together on projects. But the CIA operatives that were agents that came and questioned me about my statements regarding Mr. Obama. And 2 days later, I received a phone call that was verified by the strength of those that had been in the office of one who identified himself without name, but that he also was a CIA agent, and informed me that my life had been placed under the contract to be removed from this earth, but the contractor refused to carry out that act or that command. And it was upon that I was then informed that Mr. Obama was indeed a CIA operative who worked during the Russian-Soviet invasion into Afghanistan in the year 1979. And through the years of the early 80s, Mr. Obama was there for 4 years, helping with logistics, the acquisition of arms to fight off the Soviet invasion, and the sale of drugs. As you are aware, Afghanistan is a major drug supply of heroin to the nations of the world. Obama was instrumental in that process, and that Columbia University gave him cover, inasmuch as that had he remained at Occidental or had not had an excuse for leaving Occidental College in Los Angeles, many questions would have been raised by a large number of people that knew him there in Occidental. We have demonstrated this, along with Senate Resolution 511, which unequivocally demonstrates that the Congress should have never allowed Mr. Obama to run for presidency, because it was a question about then his opponent, Senator John McCain's natural born status, as he was born, not natural born, in the state of Panama, and not on the Panama Canal Zone military installation, but in a Panama hospital which was outside of the zone. Mr. John McCain could not be the U.S. president either. He was not natural born. So the Senate got together and put together a resolution called 511. All of that is contained here in this transcript. It was voted on at the time by then Senator Hillary Clinton, John McCain, and also at the time Senator Barack Obama, because they were clear that without that resolution affirming Mr. McCain's citizenship, he was disqualified. I need to note, and you will discover, that this trial was able to reveal that Senate Resolution 511 was not binding. It was not passed by the House. It was simply the good old boys at it again, trying to protect one of their own. The question, however, remains, what about Mr. Obama? He is not natural born. Why was not some sort of Senate resolution written or drawn up about him? And the reason why was they wanted to omit that truth and proceed right to the presidency, thinking perhaps John McCain would win. I can't read their minds, but I can say this, that neither one of them qualified to be the president. We have got documented testimony, witnesses, eyewitnesses. We've had people do research. We spent a goodly number of months going over and poring over the archives and the documents, and we have concluded that this trial was fair, and I believe you will conclude the exact same thing at the conclusion or at the ending of the reading. 17 counts, Mr. Obama was found guilty of. I want to further state that America, having elected Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, and prior to such an election, America has lost her sense of adventure, her sense of expansion, her sense of growth, and discovering new frontiers. The recent collapse and the closing of the space program is an empirical witness to that fact, that we as Americans have fallen into a morass of complacency, and we're no longer the great nation of adventure and expansion that we were going back as much as 50 years ago, and certainly as much as 100 years ago. And what has taken place is a sense of morass regarding what we are, and no longer do we have the strength to climb higher mountains. I am presenting this transcript, and I conducted the trial because I still believe in the greatness of America. I believe that America's days, great days, are ahead of her, that there's still mountains to be climbed and rivers to be forded and great things to be accomplished by this nation. But we must first cleanse ourselves of the sins we have committed. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We need to find ourselves as Americans back under the admonition of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. A call to all men, black and white, all women, young and old, all children, all participants in this great republic, to repent and to look to God and to call upon Him. And He will forgive our sins and He will heal our land of the racial strife, of the economic dilemmas that we have, of the substandards that we have in terms of our education system, the fact that China now owns us, block, stock, and barrel, or the fact that we have all of these cabals running around from the Illuminatis, the Bilderbergs, and others who are pulling the strings on those who are but puppets that sit in our congressional halls and pontificate and lawbreak all day long. And finally, if we're not able to come to an amicable, if you must, reasonable way of dealing with Mr. Obama, that he might be fully imprisoned and that those who were supportive of the conspiracy likewise be in prison, then I need to say to you that revolution is not a dirty word. I remember in my early days in grade elementary school and high school, we were proud to say the word revolution, and the revolution that took place in this nation, the 4th of July and the chasing of King George and Cornwallis, and those were great days of studying American history. And I say to all Americans, if we cannot resolve this, and that the media and that the Congress and that the courts look carefully at this transcript and imprison Mr. Obama, then revolution to change this nation under what Thomas Jefferson has said, that at any point in time when we find ourselves in a government that will not hear us and will not respond to us, it is our constitutional duty to overthrow that government. Constitutionally, we the people must rise up and reclaim the spirit of revolution in our nation. Finally, I want to say thank you to all of the patriots, and a special thank you to Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, presently jailed and under court-martial proceedings at present, because he has determined that Barack Hussein Obama is not eligible to send him off to war nor command him. And there are law cases that demonstrate that a commander-in-chief must have the authority, as the soldier swears to uphold the Constitution. Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin is doing just that, and our government is railroading him, and the American media, the American people, and all of those who are clamoring about religious liberty and wearing high-buckled shoes and three-cornered hats and waving the Don't Tread on Me flag will not lift their hands nor their voice to help Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. He's my hero, and I certainly want to acknowledge him today and offer ask you that you might pray for him. Finally, all of the patriots across America that are continuing to stand on the birth certificate issue, don't get weary, children. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't allow what the media has done and others who used to be birthers, who have turned on you and called you names that are beneath your character or the character of the patriots and the patriotism for which you continue to stand tall. Remember the old proverb that truth is on the scaffold and injustice is on the throne, but truth sways the future. It goes something like that in the hearts of those of us who will one day be vindicated. Stand strong. Stand tall. Don't quit. We're just beginning to fight the good fight of faith. And those who participated in the trial, the jurors, the witnesses, the bailiff, the great members of the Outlaw World Missionary Church that opened the house and made it presentable, I could never thank you enough. I could never thank you enough. The staff members and all the praying mothers and praying elders of this great church, I could never thank you enough. And I'm confident that Jesus will indeed pay you what is right. Those of you who have listened, thank you so very much for hearing my comments. Now, Captain Neil Turner, who served in the U.S. military as an aviator for 7 years and resigned from the military, I would want that he would speak to the judicial authority constitutional statements regarding the conducting of this trial. Captain Turner.
Good afternoon, Pastor and American citizens. I would like to preface the remarks with the comment that it has just been learned another crime has occurred in Tennessee this morning, and Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick has been arrested. They broke down his door, and they said he was resisting arrest. That terminology to me means they wanted to find a reason to use force on Lieutenant Commander Fitzpatrick. Are you aware of that, Pastor?
No, I'm not. This is news to me, but we shall go into prayer immediately for Lieutenant Colonel Walter Fitzpatrick. We will pray for him and other things that we need to do as well.
Okay. You know, it's been widely reported that our government no longer operates as a constitutional republic, but instead has become a corporation, and that we, the people, are unknowingly conducting our affairs in that environment. However, the fact remains that all those elected or appointed to conduct the affairs of state still swear an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution, which consists of the Declaration, 7 Articles, and 27 Amendments. They recognize that as the supreme law of the land. Therefore, it stands to reason that we, the people, the originators of that contract, the Constitution, between us and those we hire for limited and or conditional terms of employment under that contract, we have the greater responsibility to ensure compliance thereof and therewith. Now, several key provisions of that contract bring us to the how, why, and by what authority we reveal the summary and transcripts of the CIA Columbia Obama sedition and treason trial. They are as follows. Number one, the requirements to make changes or amendments to the terms of that contract are well known, time-consuming, and laboriously detailed. They cannot be changed by the judiciary simply enacting new rules of procedures, nor by simply violating those terms and getting away with it for, say, 100-plus years. There is no statute of limitations on violations of that contract, and their actions become null and void whenever the originators, we the people, deem it so. All complicit parties may also be charged with treason or misprision of treason. Number two, the Fifth Amendment provides for a citizen's grand jury, and as Justice Antonin Scalia said in a 1992 ruling, quote, rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. And this, in fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people, end quote. History shows that the citizen's grand jury was a common occurrence in the early days of our constitutional republic and was used as a means to correct the crimes of corrupt public officials. That right and duty of the people continues to this day. Number three, The 9th and 10th Amendments retain the rights and powers with the people. Hence, the rights and powers of the people to form citizens' trial courts to act on presentments or indictments of citizen grand juries exist to this day. And fourth, the Constitution provides for the specific requirements of the office of President and Commander-in-Chief. A, Article 2, Section 1 says that only a natural-born citizen shall be eligible to the office of President. B, Article 1, Section 8 says that Congress, under the authority granted by the people, has the power to enforce offenses against the law of nations. And C, the law of nations says that a natural-born citizen is one who is born in the country of parents, both of whom are citizens of that country. Now, based on the understanding that with the privilege and honor of knowing of, swearing to, and living under our Constitution comes the responsibility and duty of defending, maintaining, and adhering to it, a duly formed constitutional citizens' court trial was held in Harlem, New York, at the Athla Church Sanctuary Courtroom on May 14th through 18th of this year. That trial, known as the CIA Columbia Obama Sedition and Treason Trial, concluded with a verdict of guilty on all counts against Columbia University, past Columbia University President Michael Sovern, and Barry Soetoro, also better known as Barack Hussein Obama. The deliberations and verdict of this trial were used as some of the evidence for 38 different state citizens' de jure grand juries, the true bill presentments of which were also reported to have been served on the Joint Chiefs of Staff in June of 2010. Let us not forget the history lesson from the Nuremberg trials in Germany at the end of World War II, so that none can say, I did not know, so that none can say, I was just following orders. Now, for those of you who might argue that there was no defense at this trial, we would say that failure to appear is admission of guilt. And for those who would argue that this was an illegitimate kangaroo court, we would say that those courts and courts martials that have been telling we the people that we have no standing under our Constitution are the real kangaroo courts and have abrogated their judicial responsibilities under our contract with them, the Constitution. When they fail to act, not to act is to act, Bonhoeffer said, then the duty to act reverts back to and remains with we the people. So we are now entering the sentencing phase of that earth-shaking and historic trial of the millennium, a trial concerning the greatest fraud ever perpetrated upon the American people in the over 200 years since the inception of our constitutional republic, and that is the usurpation of the office of president and commander-in-chief by a publicly acknowledged non-natural-born citizen. Under the terms of our Constitution, our nation can survive 4 or even 8 years of anyone as president, but it cannot survive without our Constitution. So what is following here is a summary of the transcripts of that trial, which will be available shortly, to include the charges, the evidence, the summation, and the verdict, and a short summarizing video by the prosecutor, Pastor James David Manning, will also be made available after his press conference at the church today, as well as the complete 400-plus pages of transcripts for those who want detailed proof of the crime of the millennium. I thank you.
Thank you, Captain Turner, for your presentation and also our education on the strength of the Constitution and the grand jury presentment and our right to do such even until this very day. The trial was not just a Bertha issue, as many would assume that it was about the birth certificate, since that has been the item that has gotten most attention about him. While we did include that, it was about the fact that he did not attend Columbia University, that he was co-opted by the CIA, and all of this information is contained in the transcript, that they employed him because of his Islamic background, his ability to speak an Islamic language, not the language of Adora, which is spoken there in the Pakistan Pushtun region, but he understood the culture and the smells of Islam. And unlike any white Anglo-Saxon CIA agent up in that region who would stick out like a sore thumb, Obama was young and perfect, idealistic, and worked very well. And so there was not a crime committed by him participating with the CIA, if you consider they're under some sort of a mandate where they can run drugs and sell arms, as with the Sandinistas and Colonel North and the Reagan administration. But having said that, I was concerned when the information was brought to me about Obama's involvement with the CIA and the Afghan-Russian-Soviet invasion, that it would make him look like a hero. The crimes occurred when, after returning and running for presidency and even for the state Senate, he never revealed any of this, but more specifically, he did not attend Columbia University, and Columbia University cannot issue a degree or an instrument conferring a degree to someone who did not follow the procedures mandated by New York State Regents Department and, of course, Columbia's Middlesex Schools, under which gives him the authority to issue degrees. That was criminal, and that was what he was convicted on. Let's open the phone lines to see if there are any questions that anyone would have regarding any of the statements made thus far at this press conference. We have a question.
Why is the CIA allowing him to continue in this capacity where he's destroying our country?
That is a question I cannot answer, except for the fact that they were complicit with him and in the process, and perhaps never thought that he would have wanted to hold the office he's now holding, albeit illegally. I can also say, why did Harvard University allow him to enter that school after not having fully qualified at Columbia? I mean, you have to make the dean's list, and we researched all of the records at Columbia. No one goes to Harvard Law School, the most difficult law school on the planet, without having made dean's list, even with affirmative action being a booster. They allowed him. So the complicity has gone on for quite some time. And right now they are invested in him, and I would suspect because of his race, they thought he could do a healing of America, pretty much like he was able to aid the Mujahideens who ultimately developed the Taliban, who ultimately took the leadership of Afghanistan after the Soviet invasion. But I can't be absolutely clear about why they are allowing this.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Captain Turner, could you address that matter, please?
Well, the one who seems to be most up to speed on this is Carl Swinson in Georgia. Interesting enough, Carl was the first person to do the 21st century grand jury, citizens grand jury. And Carl's website is riseupforamerica.com. Just four words all run together, riseupforamerica.com. I got a call earlier from Darren Huff, who is a co-defendant with Fitzpatrick on some of these, but he's also in Georgia, and he's under federal indictment. I mean, the corruption goes so deep, and it's all because Fitzpatrick brought charges of treason against the usurper-in-chief. So the best way I could find out myself was through Carl Swinson at Rise Up for America. So if you go to his website, he should be updating that immediately.
All right. Did you get that information?
Rise Up for America.
Riseupforamerica.com, Carl Swinson's website, and information regarding Colonel Walter Fitzpatrick should be updated there.
Yeah, he's a lieutenant commander. He was Navy.
All right. Do we have any other questions? All right. Let's take call. Hello, caller.
Hey, this is Carl Swinson. How you doing today?
Well, what a blessing to hear from you.
Pastor Manning, it's been a pleasure following your progress, and I'm really excited to hear that you've got this information finally out there for public disclosure. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I don't know how I can tell you how much I appreciate all the work that you've done and your service to this great country. So,
well, I think that we all owe you a debt of gratitude for your starting this process and making us aware of the fact that we can proceed to grand jury proceedings on Mr. Obama. So thank you. But I want to know what is happening with Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick. Did they injure him? They arrested him? They accused him of resisting arrest? Could you tell us what took place. And while you're speaking, we have several other callers now that have called in. Please remain on the line. We will get to you, but I want you to be patient so that we can treat each caller with the kind of deliberate information that's necessary. So continue, if you will, Mr. Swenson.
Yes, yesterday I got information that the arrest warrant had been issued for Lieutenant Commander Fitzpatrick, and I was trying my best to get confirmation of this. I put forth calls to Darren and a few other people to see what I could find out, and I really didn't get anything back until this morning when Darren Huff called me, and he told me that, yes, in fact, he had been arrested. He had just gotten off the phone with Tim Harrington. And according to Tim, after Tim had talked to him, he said it was 10 minutes after that where they broke down his door and did, in fact, arrest him. And it must be noted at this point that, according to sources, the arrest warrant that he was served did not have any signatures on it. These people are completely out of control in this town of Sweetwater and Madisonville, Tennessee. That county
was
is...
Was it a federal warrant, federal officials, or local state officials that affected the arrest?
These were local officials that affected this arrest, and this was because he was not present at a hearing that occurred a couple of days ago. Okay. So they said that a hearing was scheduled, and they used that as justification to put him in the pokey. So, as far as I know, that's where he's at. I have grave concerns over his health and well-being right now. He was, when he found out that they were doing this, as you can well imagine, being a lieutenant commander and being true to his cause, he was not going to go easily or quietly. So
I pray that he is well, and I think he was arrested a few months ago, and he was fasting throughout the period of his arrest, and finally they released him. I'm very concerned now that this second arrest has taken place. And we want to alert the people within the immediate region, but also people who have traveled great distances into Madison County. The town is called Sweetwater. Is that what the town is called?
Well, the actual courthouse is located in Madisonville.
Madisonville.
Right. Walt is from the town of Sweetwater,
okay,
which is an adjoining town.
Now, he would be held at the Madisonville jailhouse or lockup, is that right?
That is correct. The sheriff's department there, that's the only lockup facility that they have.
And Tim Harrington is also within that region as well, because we need to try to establish some way that Lieutenant Commander can be supported. I know people who are willing to get in their cars and drive from Oklahoma into Tennessee and from other places as well. They have had enough of this Gestapo action by these people in Madisonville, they are just off the charts. They're worse than people in Washington. So if there's any further information that you can post up on your website at riseupforamerica.com so that people can know where to go, who to speak with, that whatever protests or demonstration that needs to be going on outside of the Madisonville lockup or anything else in any other way that Lieutenant Commander can be supported, please put it up there, and I will continue to talk about it. But I can tell you now, many of the listeners to the Manning Report will go to Madisonville to stand with Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick.
I can tell you this, that as a member of the small group that was with him on April 1st when Commander Fitzpatrick was arrested, myself, Darren, and one other individual were indicted along with him. And the indictments came after the fact so that they could justify picking up Darren Huff. So they are waiting for me to show up there. I will be more than happy to do so. I just need some people. Numbers are absolutely called for here. We have to have a show of force. This is the most egregious error that I have ever seen in law. You know, they have the whole thing started for Walt when they arrested him because he was doing a citizen's arrest on a grand jury foreman who has been a grand jury foreman for 27 years at that point, and by Tennessee law, by the Tennessee constitutional law, he could only be that a maximum of 2 years, and then he had to be off for 2 years.
Right.
And so they went back and forth with this, and they said, well, since it's been done, it's okay, and they could continue to do it. So bottom line is they are completely out of control in this particular county. And it's not just this county, okay? It's surrounding counties. The current judge that is on this is from a surrounding county, and he also has a grand jury foreman, a pet, so to speak, that he has had for 20 years. So apparently this is a common practice within the state of Tennessee. I will also tell you that I was in contact with the group that gives out information for the grand juries in Tennessee. And when I asked them about this, and about this grand jury foreman being there for 27 years, they said, oh, don't worry about that. We're going to do away with the grand juries anyway.
Once we completed this press conference, I also want to get on the case of informing Americans about the need to direct their support to Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick and what's happening there in Madisonville, start flooding that place with calls or with the presence of people to let them know that they're not going to be able to do this, get away with it, and we want Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick released right away.
Pastor Manning, I don't want to take up any more of your time because you're doing a great thing here yourself. So let me just leave you with this. People need to be placing calls to the governor. They need to be placing calls to the FBI, to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Everything within the state of Tennessee seems to be corrupt, but we have to place the calls nonetheless. I do have it on reliable information that the FBI is now actively engaged in investigating this corrupt county. So I do not have any confirmation on that at this point. As I get information, I will be posting it up on, riseupforamerica.com. I just want to leave you with that. Folks, if you can, please, please call. We need to flood the phone lines. We need to flood the phone lines at the sheriff's department there. Ask them why they served a warrant with no signatures. Ask them why they broke the door down of this man for standing up for his rights, for our rights. We need to get involved, please. Anyway, Pastor Manning, again, thank you, and thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you for what you're doing.
I'm following your progress. Neil, thank you for reminding people of this.
Please call. Please call the ACLU. Please call the federal authorities. Please call the governor. Please call. Let me echo that. Please call. You can find
thank
those
you.
Numbers readily, and please go to riseupforamerica.com for further updates until we get the update that Lieutenant Commander has been released. But please do what you can. Don't sit there. Don't think that someone else should do it. You have the opportunity. Please do this. This thing has gone far too deep into Americans being treated as if we are somehow or another third-class citizens. Please, if not citizens at all, please call. All right. Thank you so very much. All right. Do we have any other callers waiting to with questions? We do. All right. Let me take another caller. Still have another call. I don't want to miss any calls. I don't want to reject anyone's comments at this hour. All right. I've just been handed the KnoxvilleNews.com judge orders veterans arrest, Chattanooga. An East Tennessee judge ordered the arrest of a military retiree who is accused of intruding on a Monroe County grand jury. A Monroe County Sheriff's Department spokeswoman said Monday that the retired Navy Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick III of Sweetwater was being sought. Special Circuit Judge John Blackwood also ordered Fitzpatrick held without bond until December 1st trial. Fitzpatrick, 58, did not immediately return a telephone message. He claims the grand jury is unlawful and wants the president indicted as an imposter because of questions about his U.S. citizenship. Documents show the president was born in Hawaii, this statement says. Fitzpatrick failed to attend a Friday hearing where the judge refused a request by defense attorney Stephen Pidgeon to withdraw from the case. Pidgeon said Monday he could not discuss the reason for the request. He said he agrees with Fitzpatrick's that Monroe County's grand jury system is hopelessly corrupt. And on it goes. We have the article that was posted in the Knoxville News on yesterday, the 26th of October. Let me state that transcript is now posted on our website at outlaw.org. There's a banner just for the transcript in the event you need to read it. I would suggest that you read it as quickly as you possibly can. Now, reading the Knoxville News judge orders veterans arrest statement Captain Turner is online still with us, and he's got some statements, and I certainly would encourage him to make those statements, because the allegations and the way this news article is written very inflammatory and anti-Lieutenant Commander Fitzpatrick. So could you chime in on that, Captain Turner?
Yes. I read that article when it first came out, and this is an Associated Press article.
Yes.
And as I look at it, it's just vile, the kind of things that the media is doing. I will comment on a couple of the sentences here. The third sentence in that said that Fitzpatrick claims the grand jury is unlawful and wants the president indicted as an imposter because of questions about his U.S. citizenship. That is false, and we all know it. And Fitzpatrick charged Obama with acts of treason, not questions about his citizenship. And that charge of treason has been for altering our form of government by fraud, deceit, and dissembling.
Right.
And so when the newspaper keeps repeating the same lie, you know that they're all in cahoots with this same thing. So that was a false statement. He didn't call him an imposter because of his citizenship, although that is a factor. It also says documents show the president was born in Hawaii. I put a little, yeah, sure. What does that say about the investigative reporting for Associated Press? They must be using blind people.
Yeah, it's incredible the way the media is supporting and suborning this lie about his birth and alleging, as did with Fox News, regarding what the documents state or show about his place of birth. It's incredible that we're living in a world where this is continuing to happen, and we don't seem to have anybody within our political, if you will, legislative body that will stand up and demand that there be justice that all Americans can look at and prove whether yes or no. This is incredible that's happening this way. And now that, and I'm delighted you can, I'm reading this and I'm thinking how horrible, it was just handed to me, I didn't proofread it. I'm thinking how horrible this is. These statements are awful. They're lies, and they're inflammatory, and they're prejudicial. And so I stopped reading it. It's two pages, but I stopped reading in the middle of it because so I'm glad you chimed in to give some clarity on this matter.
I'd like to clarify another point here. It should let you know the depth of the conspiracy here. It says that Huff, that's Darren Huff, actually a former Desert Storm Navy man, he's in Georgia, and he faces related charges. And they say he was among a dozen armed people who gathered at the courthouse. Now, Huff was there when Commander Fitzpatrick tried to make his citizen's arrest on April 1st. Huff was there just as a cameraman. Never spoke to anybody, never did anything. But they charged him with inciting to riot. But they're also trying to infer here that he was with armed people and armed. Nobody had weapons. And nobody ever looked for any weapons when that citizen's arrest was attempted on the 1st of April. It was on the 20th of April, when they were having the hearing, that Huff, as a Georgia militia member, showed up with the weapons that he's liable to carry across the border and with him. And so what the FBI, the government, under the control of Barack Hussein Obama, is trying to do is relate the weapons charges with the citizen's arrest. And so they're trying to build a story around that.
Right.
And they sneak it in this stupid little article where he said about a dozen armed people. Well, you know, that's inciting to riot. That's what they're doing. AP.
Yeah. Captain, I have another caller on the line. Would you hold on, please? We are, and I would say to all Americans who feel that somehow or another this matter does not touch you, or that Lieutenant Commander Fitzpatrick is out of order, that he is racist, which is what a large number of people like to allege when anything is raised about the credibility of Barack Obama. I will say to you that all Americans are going to pay dearly for allowing this to continue. There's just no way injustice on this scale can happen. And when you allow people to be imprisoned, to have their door kicked in, and dragged off to prison, and then lies written about them in the Associated Press, it's going to come home to bite everybody. So I'm appealing to everyone. We need to stop this now. We need to stop it. If you're not willing to challenge Obama face to face, challenge this this horrendous thing that's happening with Lieutenant Commander Fitzpatrick. A number of us, including Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, we were led to think that there were Americans who were patriots who were not going to allow this to advance to the point where it's at now with Obama's eligibility. And like Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, who is now being court-martialed because he stood up as well. And these are not people just run-of-the-mill street people that are making these stands on the Constitution regarding Obama. These are decorated soldiers of our military. And we are allowing this to happen. These are the people that keep us safe at night from foreign and domestic enemies. And yet the American people are allowing this to happen. It's got to stop. It has got to stop. Now, whether or not they will snatch his golden retirement program is anybody's guess. But they certainly will do it. They can possibly do it. Hello, caller. Hello.
Dr. Manning?
Yes, sir.
This is the foreman of the jury of the trial of the century. Calling from New Mexico.
It's good to hear your voice. I have been praying about you, and thank you for chiming in today. Thank you. We owe you, America owes you a great debt of gratitude for what you did on that jury. You're coming. We missed you at the committee hearing, but we pray all is good. How are things out in New Mexico?
Well, they're going good. We just try to take things day by day, and of course we stay constantly in touch with what you're doing and, of course, other people who are trying to pursue truth in this country. But I did want to say one thing in particular, and that is that the trial was indeed a very taxing experience. I felt like all jurors were indeed genuine, sincere, patriotic, honest, and fair individuals who rendered a decision that was based on the evidence presented in the trial, and the trial was legal and proper in every respect. I did want to respond, though, to a question that one of your earlier callers had regarding why is it that a criminal is in the White House and no one who pursues justice in our government has stood up and exposed it. And I think I have two possible reasons why, and I want to throw this to you and your audience to think about and comment on. And one of the reasons why the truth continues to be suppressed, one of the possibilities is that this nation is being held hostage with a threat against our safety and security. And we don't know what that is, but there's a threat out there that, you know, if Obama gets exposed, then something dastardly will happen.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I know you've said that, and I'm in agreement with you, but I think you could elaborate a little bit more for our listeners on what that threat could possibly be. You don't have to be specific, but would you elaborate?
Well, obviously he's there for a reason, and I believe that reason is to dismantle the Constitution and to remove America as the force of justice on the globe. Obviously, if America ceases to exist and, you know, liberty and so forth cannot prevail, then there'll be a vacuum on the earth, and really totalitarianism will reign supreme. There will be no opportunity left for any earthly citizen to experience true liberty like what we've experienced here in America. So if you really want to bring totalitarian world government to power, you got to eliminate the United States first.
That's true.
And so I think Obama is a pawn in that effort to dismantle our Constitution, because really it's the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that are standing in the way of world government. So that's the number one reason why I think that the truth can't come out, is because we're being held hostage by some potential act of terrorism or something disastrous that could happen if Obama is exposed. The second thing is I think by exposing Obama,
If the truth comes out on him in the public arena, it will also expose the crimes and the lies that have been told to the American people for decades. The CIA, the FBI, government agencies, every administration back to John F. Kennedy has been corrupted by CIA and big banks and mega corporations that really want to destroy liberty, because they don't like the fact that, you know, people can prosper under their own volition. They want everybody to be a pawn in their game. And so I think that, you know, that's it. It's
well,
got to be
ask
one
you
of those
a question.
Two reasons.
And possibly both. But let me ask you a question, because here a number of people have come to that conclusion, and they have decided after reviewing such a possibility, a scenario, that it would be safer for us, because if Obama is exposed, he will not go down by himself, to put it briefly.
Exactly.
A ton of people will have to go with him, and we will find that the root, as you have stated, of Obama's rise and his present maniacal presidency can be traced all the way back to John Kennedy, or the beginning of the founding of the CIA as an operation in the affairs of America, both domestic and foreign. So people are saying, well, for the interest of the nation, let's not do this, because we can't stand such an upheaval in our government. This is beyond revolution, some people are saying.
That's exactly it. I mean, Obama would be the first domino in a series of dominoes that would just basically uproot America, because we've been lied to, crimes have been committed that would just be appalling to the people, and the credibility of the United States worldwide would be lost.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. This is getting right. And your hypotheses are correct. But you know, Dave, I believe that we can sustain the revolutionary disruption of our government with that domino falling and others falling as well. I believe that we can sustain that. But the other thing is true. If we don't, we're going to be destroyed anyway, because he's in
exactly.
the process. So, I mean, I would rather go down fighting rather than just sit here and be destroyed without any possibility of recovery. Would not you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. I think we're in a catch-22 situation, and the power brokers and the influencers in America, the Glenn Becks and the Bill O'Reillys and all these other media types, they know the truth, and the reason that they're continuing to play the game is because they know they can just delay the pain by continuing to perpetuate the lies. If the truth comes out, the pain begins immediately. But I'm like you. I would rather have the truth and start the rebuilding process rather than this slow erosion that's going to take place over a number of months or even years.
You witnessed that. You served as the mayor of a city in New Mexico, Clovis, I believe, is the city you were once the mayor of, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
You did a great job as the foreman of the jury. You witnessed the trial. You were here. You were here for every for the seating of the jury, and you brought back the verdict. I was greatly impressed with the verdict of the jury, and with the credibility and fidelity of the witnesses. I thought it was a tremendous moment in our history to see that trial take place. But I would like to ask you, after having been such a witness, where do you see this nation going? Do you think they will respond now that this information has been made public? And I purposely waited a while. That before we release the transcripts, what is your estimation of how the American people will respond, and what would be your suggestion on how to get the best positive response from the American people regarding the information that's contained in this transcript?
That's a very tough question. I have hope that the truth will come out, but what I believe to be true is that most people don't really want the truth. They're content with their daily lives, and unless a disaster occurs in their personal life, then they're not really going to change what they're doing. People are hung up on sports. They're hung up on entertainment. They're hung up on every type of distractive activity you can come up with, but they're not paying attention to the necessary things that are going to preserve our liberty. And until they suffer some pain, they're not going to wake up. America is asleep at the wheel, and we're going down the road headed for a crash of some type. And unless the people wake up, and I don't know what can do that other than a spirit of repentance. I've come to the spiritual conclusion that the only hope is that America repents. That really is the only recipe for the survival of liberty. There's no other recipe out there. There's no government policy. There's no leader who's standing out there in the wings waiting to become a governor or a congressman or a senator or somebody like that. It's an uphill battle like none other. The media is against the truth. Government officials are against the truth.
People
are basically considered to be stupid. I mean, I was in government for 12 years, and I know how government people think. They think that if you're a citizen and you have a question or a concern, you're just an idiot, okay? And now that I've gotten out of government, I can see how government corrupts the judgment and the mind of those who are involved in it, whether they're an elected official or whether they're a bureaucrat. They just think of the citizen as a problem, not as some virtuous individual within their country. They don't think of them that way. They're a problem.
Well, you know, a number, and your estimation is absolutely correct. I have found over the last year, well, more, I suppose, over the last couple of months, that since the trial, people are really placing their hope in the salvation of this nation and something they cannot save, which is the November election. I mean, people are running around and thinking that somehow or another, this nation will be put back on track. In fact, they are using those terms. And a large number of the people that they're praying and hoping to be the catalyst of this are people who don't even acknowledge God. We can't proceed without God. And I got to tell you, I've had some meetings since the trial. I'm continuing to meet with people to form yet another coalition to bring God back front and center in a way in which I think the American people cannot deny the presence of the Lord. But once we get past November 2nd, I think we can begin to talk to people. But right now, the media, as you stated, they are promoting the lies. They understand the truth. They have been exposed to it. And yet, they are leading people down the primrose path. We're all going to go off the cliff if we continue to follow them. But November 2nd is not the answer, is what I want to try to say.
It's not, and you're exactly right about that. I see it every day. You know, people are so excited they want to raise money for this campaign and that, and I've contributed to campaigns, and you know, I support change away from those who have been in office. I don't care what political party they are. If they've been in office, it's time for a change. Nonetheless, I've just resolved that, you know, we've got to have a nation that's willing to repent and get back to the truth with, like you said many times before, with the Bible in one hand and the Constitution in the other. And until that happens, we're going to continue to erode spiritually, ethically, and morally as a nation. And liberty cannot exist in any form or fashion unless the character of the people is virtuous. If we're a people of the people, by the people, and for the people, and that's our form of government, then if we're a nation of people who are wallowing in immoral and unethical and corrupt behavior, then that's the kind of government we're going to have. I mean, it's just going to be that way. And if we want good, honest, fair, just government, then the people have to be good, honest, fair, and just. And we've lost that. We've lost that understanding. And we've got to get it back. And the only way to get it back is to go back to the roots of this nation, and that is the virtues taught in the scriptures of the Holy Bible, and that's found in the Ten Commandments, and There's no other solution. There's just
I thank you so very much for calling in today. It's really good to hear your voice and to reunite with you and fellowship. Let's continue to pray. I'm confident that we're going to prevail. We're going to get God centered back in the center of this nation. Thank you for calling in today. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Let me state now that, of course, the transcript is now on our website at otlaw.org. We made it privileged to some others earlier. It's there in totality. It is our plan also to bring the history of the subpoenas, the certification of the serving of subpoenas, and all of the ancillary evidence that would be supporting of the transcript. And we believe that people can now make their own judgments about what took place at the trial and how to proceed. The next item is, of course, will be the sentencing. And we will have to put together a committee that would make the decision regarding the sentencing. But as Captain Turner has read, constitutionally our privileges and rights to have conducted a trial, which we wanted to at least today establish that we had judicial authority and have always possessed that authority from the Declaration of Independence, and that a recent comment has been made both on the status of natural-born citizen and also regarding our judicial authority to conduct such a trial. Now that we've established that, and I don't think people are going to argue with that, it doesn't make sense to do so. What would you argue that the trial was not judicially approved of by the Constitution? But beyond that, we now want to move to the next phase of this trial, which would be the sentencing of Mr. Obama. And let me quickly state that while we have been assured that copies of the transcript has been delivered to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and that they have been made aware but have taken no action since June of this year regarding this trial, but they all are aware and have copies in their possession at present. I want to caution all that no action will be taken regarding Mr. Obama or his illegal presidency as a result of this transcript without the constitutional approval of anything that is being done or said. We're going to continue, but that path is a winner. Standing on the Word of God, standing on the power of the Word of God, is the only stand that we have left right now. We want to hold on to the Constitution. It's an ordained document. We want to hold on to it. It gives credence and clarity to what we want to approach. But the Word of God, we stand on that. We shall not be moved. And it's because we have not stood on the Word of God. We have drifted away and allowed ourselves to go out and worship other gods under every green tree and on every high hill, and we've called it worshiping our God, worshiping the God that is God. That is why this weakness has taken place in our nation.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.